Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. I'm your host, Eric. Thanks for joining me for this journey. This is actually episode number 3. Thanks again for listening. If you haven't had a chance, go ahead and subscribe to this podcast. And also, you know, we're going to be posting these on YouTube too. So go ahead and if you're listening to this via YouTube, just or any other platform for that matter, go ahead and click subscribe. We definitely want you to be kept abreast of any new episodes that come. And thanks again for listening. This is episode number 3. First episode, we discussed my background, gave you a little introduction of who I am, talked about trading at the CBOE and my years trading in the trading physical commodities in the energy space. And last week was part one of my main income strategies. Now, you know, there are a number of different reasons to focus on trading options. Sometimes it's to hedge a portfolio. Sometimes it's, oftentimes it truly is insurance or just sort of managing risk. This podcast is specifically focused on creating income. I like creating money. It's having been in a world where you, on a day-to-day basis, are charged with growing a P&L. Hopefully you're growing the P, the profit side, not the L, the loss side. I like to think about ways to make money from money. It's a fun game. It's a fun career. And I'm happy to be able to share a few things with you guys this podcast. So this is part two of my main income strategies. And we'll get started here in just a minute. But today we're actually going to be discussing credit spreads. I've taught some people how to trade credit spreads a couple years ago. We had a had an online class, and the responses that I received from it were really inspiring. People who didn't really understand before or didn't understand how to make some adjustments and whatnot really were able to move ahead in their trading. Several people shared winning trades. And all in all, I actually like credit spreads more than I like covered calls and covered puts, or not covered puts, covered calls and naked puts, which we talked about last week, or short puts, for those of you who don't like the word naked. Naked. anyway, sorry. I like to have a little fun too. Again, I really do enjoy option trading. I enjoy teaching as well, and I definitely want to hear back from you guys. So if you have any questions, feel free to email me at Eric@theweeklyoption.com, or you can always just leave a note on the website on one of the contact forms, and I check all of those personally. I'll be getting back to you. We will be having a contest in the upcoming weeks. I've mentioned that on the previous two episodes, but we're gonna have a contest where I'm gonna be sending out probably 4 of my favorite books on option trading. I love having books that teach real tactics and real fundamentals on valuation and trading options. And I think it's one of the best ways to learn. And I've augmented my learning with, you know, obviously my experience, but also with, you know, video courses and with live lectures and classes. Like, I think it's great to always be learning. And if you're listening to this podcast, you obviously want to continue your learning too. So we'll start that off probably in the next, probably with episode 5, when I start discussing real trades. These first handful of episodes are really just about kind of the introduction and giving you guys a basis or a base education so that you can follow along with me in the upcoming weeks when I describe the trades that I'm going to be getting into. So without further ado, let's start talking about credit spreads. So I like credit spreads because anytime you're trading a spread, you're going to have, right up front, you're going to have limited risk and limited gain. But I'm okay with that limited gain because Well, ultimately, what I really care about is protecting my capital. If I really wanted to try to, you know, blow out my trading account, I would just go out and, you know, put every dime that I own, bet it on, say, crude oil going up today. I'd get long as many futures as I could afford, you know, with margin. And if it goes up, then great, you know, I double or triple my money. And if it goes down, well, then I'm out of the game. And one of the things we used to say on the trading floor, both on the at the CBOE and in some of the investment banks and trading companies I've worked at, is always live to trade another day. So I can put on as many spreads as I can handle, relatively speaking, and know from the start what my maximum loss is. That's huge. It's huge from a portfolio management, a money management situation. It also gives me the confidence to know that I only have the amount of risk on that I can handle. I can sleep at night. I don't know if any of you guys have traded big accounts before, but I certainly have been in situations where you're in a position that's so big, either one that you wanted or one that your company, your managers wanted you in. And I mean, you have what I call trader mares, which are nightmares where you don't get any rest. You get sleep, but not rest, because the whole time you're thinking about and walking back through your trade. I literally had this huge trade on in this biotech company that I was trading options for at the CBOE. And that night there was it was Friday of options expiration. And the next, that evening or sometime that day, there was going to be an FDA announcement, which meant the stock was either going to move up, you know, $10, or it was going to fall $10. And the problem is, I was short options. There's something called pin risk, which is where you are short the at-the-money strike. And being an option market maker, we typically tried to be what we call delta neutral. So I owned stock against my short call. And you don't know how much stock to keep, because as of Monday morning, when you come back, that option position has expired, right? It's no longer in your account. And you now still have that stock. So on Monday morning, I was going to be long whatever shares didn't get exercised or whatever shares weren't being used to offset an expiring option position. So that Friday night, I remember going to bed, and literally my dream was me in my office going back through the numbers of that trade position. And I dreamt about being on the trading floor. And then I in my dream, you know, because sometimes your mind likes to mess with you, sort of anxiety ridden, I actually had hedged the trade the wrong way. So I was short underlying stock versus being short call options in the dream. So when I woke up at 6 a.m., I got dressed, I hopped on the train, went all the way back downtown to the office to open up and look at my position and make sure. I mean, that's how much that dream really kind of messed with me. So anyway, trading spreads, so much easier. You can sleep at night, you can breathe, you can rest a little easier. And you know what? You can still make plenty money. And it's an income strategy, so not a home run strategy, not a lotto ticket by any means. We're going to be creating income each and every month, slowly but surely, getting one step closer to your dreams or even the extra income you need. Like, I've heard that most people's bankruptcies come from literally being short roughly $500 per month. I mean, $6,000 a year can make the difference between, you know, foreclosure or bankruptcy and or not. Like, that's unreal to me. So you definitely could do that and then some, trading credit spreads. So let's dive into what the credit spread actually is. Now, it's there's obviously two words here, credit. So that's an indication that we're going to be receiving money when we put this trade on, rather than a debit where we'd be paying it out. So we will be receiving money, which is great. So For those of you who don't know, typically the only way to receive money in an option trade is to sell something. So we are going to be selling this option spread. And the other thing about it is it's a spread. So that means that there is more than one option involved. When you spread something off, you typically have bought and sold something. So we will be buying a further out of the money option and selling the closer to the at the money strike option. So essentially, let's use the example like we did last week, where you have a stock that's trading for $30. We will be selling, for instance, a 32 strike call option and then buying the 33 strike call option. So again, you've got limited risk, right? You've got limited upside as well. And I know right off the bat what my maximum loss is. So it's a good thing. You also can do this on the put side. So with stock trading for $30, maybe I sell the 28 strike put and I buy the 29 strike put. So in a situation where, let's say that I was just short the 32 strike call with stock trading at 30, I still have unlimited risk because maybe stock goes to 35. Maybe the stock goes higher and goes to 40 or 50 or 60. Like when you sell a call and you don't own the shares to deliver against that call, you actually have unlimited risk. And most brokerages are going to protect you from doing that unless you have a sizable account. And if you do have a sizable account, hopefully you know better. And sometimes it's the right thing. Sometimes, you know, just selling a call option unprotected is the right thing to do. But for our purposes here, for income, we will not be taking on just unlimited risk. And what's interesting too, selling a call is different than selling a put naked. When you sell a put naked, a stock can only go down to zero. Stocks don't trade negative. So let's say we decide to sell the 28 strike put. Our only risk there, it's not unlimited. Our risk is that stock goes to zero. So the $28 per share, with 100, you know, each option is worth 100 shares. So essentially, if you sell that naked put, your maximum risk right off the bat is $2,800, $100 times that $28 per share, or 100 stocks. 100 shares, sorry about that, 100 shares times the $28 a share. So selling a put actually does have limited risk, even though it's not always what we want to do. It's limited right off the bat. So selling a call, totally different. You're giving up a lotto ticket, and I'm not a fan of selling lotto tickets. I'm not a fan of selling unlimited risk. So that's why we go ahead and buy a higher strike or further away from the at the money stock price. We sell that call option. So let's say that right off the bat, the 32 strike call option is trading for 50 cents per share, and we're able to buy that the 33 strike call option for 15 cents. So we took in 50 cents, we paid out 15 cents, we're left with 35 cents per share on that spread. Now, the maximum value of any spread that you put on in options is going to be the difference in the strikes. So if in this case, with us selling the 32-33 call spread, there's $1 between 32 and 33. $33 minus $32 is $1. So we know that that spread can never be worth more than a dollar. Doesn't matter if the underlying stock goes to $1,000 per share. That particular spread will never be worth more than $1. We also collect 35 cents a share. So we're taking in 35 cents on this spread that has a maximum value of $1. That means, for those of you who are following along, our maximum risk here is $1, which is the difference between the strikes, minus the 35 cents that we collected when we sold the spread, right? So our maximum risk is $65. Now, because we sold the spread, we receive on day one the most money that we ever will receive in that spread, which is 35 cents per share. So our maximum gain is 35 cents a share, or $35, because we have 100 shares that option represents. Our maximum loss is 65 cents. So I like a spread. I like this sort of spread. I do this type of thing all the time. This is one of my core sort of like base trades, because from here, there are a number of things that I can do. Like maybe I decide to sell this spread and stock moves towards my spread, which means that that spread now is going to start losing money, because that at that closer, that 32 strike call that you sold will actually start to increase in value. The thing I like about it is that I can then make additional trades to offset any loss. I can think about what I want to do and how I want to do it. So right off the bat, like I said, you collect it 35 cents. One of the adjustments that I've made to a trade like this, if it's losing money, is to actually go ahead and sell a put against it, or I'll go ahead and, you know, maybe buy stock. I can buy that strike in, move it out further. But really, there's no danger, there's no risk of loss until you get to your break-even point. And hopefully you guys know what a break-even point is, but if not, don't worry. I'm going to be sharing some videos. There are videos on the website to teach you this sort of thing, teach you some of the basics that I'm going to discuss in this podcast. So your break-even point is the point at which you've neither made money or lost money on the trade. So break even at this point means that we have given up that 35 cents, or said another way, our spread, which started off with a 35 cent profit, now is at zero profit. So in selling the 32-33 call spread, our break even point is $32 plus the 35 cents that we collected. So at $32.35, you now are at zero. At $32.50 in the underlying stock, you've lost 15 cents on the spread, and so forth, right? At $33 with the underlying stock, we actually will have lost 65 cents a share on the spread, right? So hopefully you guys are following along. If not, I'll go ahead and create a video so it walks you through the numbers. But it's pretty simple stuff, and you're going to see me do this weekly, each week on this podcast, selling spreads, collecting money, and hopefully growing my account, because I'm going to be doing it very publicly, because you guys are going to get to watch me. So the thing about it is when you sell a option, you typically are short theta, which means that depreciation that comes from time actually makes you money. And you're also going to be initially short gamma, because again, the majority of the value of this trade is in that short call, the short 32 strike that we sold. So ultimately, we want price. If I sell this call spread, I want price to either sit still, right? I want it to expire being worth close to $30, or I want it to go the other way. I'd love for the price of the stock to go down. So this is not a delta neutral trade. This trade benefits from the direction of the market. If I sell a call spread, I do that typically on a stock that I expect to go lower. Maybe I'm expecting earnings to be awful. Maybe there's some news and you can tell that the stock has lost its momentum. But for whatever reason, I think stock is going lower, I'm willing to sell a call spread. On the flip side, let's say we get a situation like we did last year in 2017, where you had 12 consecutive months of S&P growth. Probably not the year to be selling call spreads. In fact, it'd be a very frustrating year to be selling call spreads over and over and over again. Or, you know, there are ways to make money on selling that call spread, even if stock is moving higher. You just don't want it to get anywhere near your break-even point. So, you know, we already said that the break-even point is $32.35. What happens if stock finishes $32.25? Well, that means I still get to keep, I still kept my 10 cents on the spread, because I, as long as stock is lower than $32.35, I make money on this. And they're obviously, you know, they're going to be things that I have to do to unwind the trade. But at the end of the day, even after I go through everything to unwind this trade, I made money on the trade, and I'm happy. You know, pat yourself on the back and then start essentially at zero again next month, because you got to keep trading. that's the life of a trader. But again, you know, if I think that stock price is going higher consistently, then I'm probably going to focus on selling puts or selling put spreads. Why? Because this trade benefits from the direction of the market, and I want the momentum. I want the market to be moving in the opposite direction of the one that I'm going in. So ultimately, I hope you guys followed along with that. Like I said, there's a video on the website. I'll turn this audio into a video so that you guys can follow along with this basic example. That's going to be it for part two of my main income strategies. And I wanted this to be a three-part series, so there is one more educational podcast, and then we're going to dive into trading. And along the way, you're going to hear me discuss other trades. I mean, sometimes you'll start with a call spread. You may end up turning it into a ratio spread, which means that you end up buying or selling more options to adjust that trade. Maybe you end up turning it into a butterfly, which has a completely different thing. Maybe you turn it into an iron condor. Maybe you just end up buying it in, closing it out, or there are any number. You could end up rolling it. You could roll the strikes. You could roll not only strikes, but you could sell a similar spread in a further out month. I mean, there's so many adjustments that you can do. That's what I love about this. Like, when options move against you, there's so many other decisions that you can make that can keep you or put you in a situation where you limit your loss and actually make more money. And I mean, that's our goal here, is to make more money. So options give you more options, and some people will make it, you know, hopefully I didn't confuse anyone, but you know, all of these, you know, like, oh, I'm going to trade a ratio spread or a butterfly or straddle, strangle, all of these names simply refer to combinations of options. If you don't understand them, it's okay, because you can still trade them without knowing the cool lingo, right? When I was on the floor, there was a spread called a Buttafuoco, which was a 1x2x3 spread where you would buy one and sell two and three against it. Or if I remember correctly, I think about what the Buttafuoco was. But, you know, there are all of these trades with crazy names. It all comes down to calls and puts and how each strike, each option is going to, how it's going to be affected by price moves. So I always like to know, you know, from the start of a trade, hey, where am I starting? Am I starting by paying money or losing or collecting money, right? And if stock moves, you know, $1, if it moves $1 away from my position, do I make or lose money? If it moves $1 closer to my position, do I make or move or lose money? And where are my break-even points? And what am I going to do? You know, what's trade number one if I start losing money? What's trade number two? Like, we're going to have a plan. I don't know. I'm sure you guys have heard. There's so many trading, you know, axioms out there. But the one I like is plan the trade and trade the plan. And we're going to do just that. We're going to plan our trades and trade the plan that we create. And that hopefully will minimize the emotion of either, you know, elation when you're making money or aggravation when you're losing it. So plan the trade, trade the plan. And that's it for episode number 3. Episode number 4 will be our final little education podcast. And then we dive into real trades, real money. So hope you guys are excited. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week. Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.